Odyssey fans, I'm Bob, senior editor with Plugged In.
And I'm Jesse, editor of Focus on the Family Clubhouse Magazine. Welcome to the May 20th, 2009 edition of the official Adventures in Odyssey podcast.
Today we've got another free episode to give away.
I love free episodes.
This is a very important episode because it introduced a new invention for Mr. Whitaker.
Wow, that's great. Now, which one was it? The Imagination Station? Oh, I know. How about the Stratiflyer?
Well, you're going to have to listen to find out.
Come on.
And be sure to stay tuned after the show to hear an interview with sound designer Bob Luttrell.
Come on, just give me a hint about the invention. Does it transmute a person so they can walk in another person's shoes?
Let's just roll the episode.
Hi, this is Chris. Welcome to Adventures in Odyssey.
Hi there. I'm John Avery Whitaker, but you can call me Whit. My friends and I are about to set off for a time of wonder and excitement. You want to come along? We'd love to have you join us for today's adventure in Odyssey. I'm calling it the Room of Consequence.
You're kidding, right? I'd like to buy the Mach 10, please.
The Mach 10 action game?
Yeah. Your father bought you a fully portable Mach 10 action computer game.
What? Mr. Whitaker, I don't get it.
Just follow me.
But we're going to the Imagination Station, right?
Well, sort of.
Look, I said I was mad, not that I wanted an adventure.
Oh, you're mad because your mom wouldn't let you buy the new, how do you say it, fully portable Mach 10 Bible action computer game.
Right. It's even better than Zappazoids.
That's not hard. Point is, you're thinking of going to the computer shop to buy one anyway.
I didn't say that.
Oh, but that's what you're thinking. Well, here we are.
Wait a minute. This isn't the Imagination Station.
You're right. Something new. I'm calling it the Room of Consequence. See, instead of sending you back, this'll let you play out the future.
The future?
I've rigged this room to play out the options and consequences for certain decisions. You'll get the whole picture as if you're doing it for the first time. Not only you, but everyone it involves. Because your decision will often affect how other people act. You'll get to see it all.
You're kidding, right?
Well, get in and find out for yourself.
Well, all right.
I'll be around to help.
Okay, but it's dark in here.
Take one more step forward.
Here it goes.
Because I don't think you should, Jimmy.
But it's my birthday. Besides, that's the reason I saved up my money.
Well, now you can use the money for something else. You have plenty of video games. Why do you want another one?
Because it's the one I don't have. Mach 10 is portable. I can take it anywhere.
Which means you'll probably be playing it instead of getting your work done.
Mom.
Jimmy, I said I don't think you should, okay?
Okay.
Sorry, honey, but you'll thank me one of these days.
Yeah. I've got to go pick up the papers for my route.
Don't be late for your birthday dinner tonight.
I won't.
Boy, Mom, you played that pretty tough.
You think so? Well, how else am I going to stop him from buying it so we can get him one?
You and Dad are getting it for him?
Well, I hope so. Your father isn't convinced about it. You know how tight money is, and he gets so worried, but I think he'll come around. Oh, look at the time. I gotta go. You'll be home for dinner, won't you?
Yeah, I have to work this afternoon, but I'm off tonight.
How are you getting to work?
Debbie's mom.
Oh, okay. Look, before you go, would you tell Lawrence about Jimmy's dinner? I've tried to call him at home, but he's not around.
Well, he's probably either at Wit's End or Wonderworld. I'll find him.
Okay, thanks, honey. Oh, and don't say anything about the game.
There it is. Mach 10, the most perfect portable video game in the entire world. A person should be able to get whatever they want on their birthday. But Mom says no. Or did she? I mean, she didn't say I couldn't get it. Oh, she just said that she didn't think I should.
You know that's not what she meant.
Huh? Mr. Whitaker?
I told you I'd be around. Just consider me your conscience in this little escapade.
You're kidding. My conscience?
Why not? Everybody has one, right? Every time you're tempted to do something bad, I'll be the one who tries to talk you out of it.
Oh, yeah. Like in the cartoons. Only there's supposed to be a good guy on one shoulder and a bad guy on the other.
You don't need a bad guy. You'll do just fine all by yourself.
Thanks a lot.
Well, you still want to buy that game after your mom said not to.
That's not what she said.
That's what she meant, and you know it.
Look, what's wrong with buying myself a birthday present?
Nothing, so long as it isn't a present your mom told you not to buy.
But this is what I want. I mean, it's a Bible game.
That doesn't matter.
Can I help you?
Yeah, you can.
Don't, Jimmy.
I'd like...
Don't do it.
I'd like to buy the Mach 10, please.
Big mistake, Jimmy.
There you go. It's good you came in. We don't have many left. That'll be $39.70, please.
There's still time. You haven't paid for it. Leave, now.
Here you go.
And there is your change and your receipt. Have fun.
Thanks, I will.
It's going to cause nothing but problems.
Relax. What kind of problems can a little game cause?
Well, for starters, where are you going to keep it?
Keep it?
Yeah, you can't take it home.
Hmm. Ah, I know.
Wonderworld.
Ha! Yep, right here in the trees. Ha! Oh, whoa!
I'm telling you, this is going to cause problems.
And I'm telling you, there are no problems.
Oh, really? You've been playing almost an hour. Weren't you supposed to be someplace by now?
Oh, yeah. The papers for my route.
Seems to me I heard someone talking earlier about you playing this game and not getting any work done. Now, who was it? Oh, yeah. Your mom.
I still have plenty of time. Let's see. Where should it go?
How about back to the store?
Huh, cute. I'll just keep it under this box.
Hi, Jimmy!
Lawrence! Don't scare me like that!
What are you doing? Hey, is that the new Mach 10 Bible action computer game?
Yeah.
Cool, can I play it?
No, you can't. I just got it and I don't want it messed up.
I won't mess it up, please!
He can't play
please,
it because you're taking it back
just
to the store.
Once, please!
Oh, all right, Lawrence. You can play it when I'm here, okay? But I have to go now, understand?
Oh, yeah, sure.
All right, I'm gonna put it under this box for now. Oh. And I need you to keep this a secret.
Secret?
Yeah. Don't tell anyone about it.
Got it, Chief.
Good. See ya.
Bye. Okay, that's it. I can't stand it anymore. Mach 10, here I come.
Lawrence?
What? Who's there?
Who do you think? Your conscience.
Oh, I had a feeling you were gonna show up. You always pop in when I'm gonna have some fun.
Only certain kinds of fun, Lawrence. Like the kind of fun that gets you in trouble.
I'm not in any trouble.
No? What's in your hand?
Just a little game.
That isn't yours, and that you were given strict instructions about.
Oh, Jimmy always says things like that, but he doesn't really mean it.
Sounded like he meant it to me.
Nah, there have been lots of times when he told me one thing, but he meant something else. See, he actually said not to play the game. Because he really wants me to.
You want to stick with that story?
Until I can come up with a better one.
Lawrence?
But it's Mach 10, the ultimate portable action video game experience. I have to play it. I have to.
Lawrence?
Sorry, I can't hear you anymore. La, 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 la.
Lawrence? La, 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 la.
Yes, 1,000 more points and I'll beat my record. Yes, almost there.
Lawrence?
Look what you made me do.
Let's talk.
I'll start singing again.
You can only do that for so long, then you'll be in big trouble.
Okay, so what now?
You've been playing for more than an hour. It's time you put that game away.
All right, I guess I've set enough records for now.
You sure have. And I'm sure Jimmy will be very interested to see all those records on his new machine, too.
That's right. He'll know I played the game when he wasn't here.
Why the panic? I thought he didn't really mean that.
How do you erase this thing?
Now, Lawrence, be careful.
Maybe this one. Or, no, this one. How about this one? No. Oh, this one. Oh, no, it's flashing error at me. What does that mean?
This is just a guess, but maybe it's broken?
No, no, what am I gonna do?
The only thing you can do, tell Jimmy.
I can't do that. He'll hate me forever.
Lawrence! Lawrence!
It's Donna. What am I gonna tell her?
The truth.
Lawrence, are you up there? Lawrence! There you are. I've been looking all over for you. Why didn't you answer me?
Well, I was, working on, something, but here I am.
Listen, we want to invite you to Jimmy's birthday dinner tonight. And your mom wants you to come home for lunch.
Oh, okay. Thanks.
I think she meant as soon as I found you, Lawrence. Come on, I'll walk you back. What's the matter? You look a little pale.
Pale?
Are you hiding something?
Hiding? No.
Yes, you are. Behind your back. What is it? Come on, let me...
No, Donna, I don't think...
Let me have it. The Mach 10 action game.
Yeah.
This is exactly what Jimmy wants for his birthday.
Oh, really?
When did you get it?
Today.
You bought this?
Well, not exactly.
Tell her the truth, Lawrence.
I found it. That's it.
Lawrence?
Found it? Where?
Tell her. Tell her.
In the forest.
Oh.
Lawrence, you found this and you're playing with it? It needs to go back to its rightful owner.
Well, I was going to try to find the rightful owner, but there's no name on it, and I mean, I don't know where to take it.
The police, the lost and found at City Hall. Oh, I'll take care of it.
But...
Hurry up. Your mom's waiting for you.
This is not good. Not good at all.
You still have time to tell her the truth.
See you tonight, Lawrence.
Yeah, bye.
That kid, you never know what he's gonna come up with next. He's pretty amazing. He found a computer game just like the one Jimmy wants. This would be perfect for his birthday. And it wouldn't cost Mom or Dad anything, which would be great because we don't have much money now. Well, chances are we'll never find the owner. In fact, it probably doesn't belong to anybody around here. We get tears through town all the time. A kid could have left it while the family was on a picnic. They could be hundreds of miles away by now and have given this game up for lost. Why should it just sit in some old lost and found box when Jimmy could have it?
Donna?
Well, it's true, isn't it?
No. You're just trying to defend what you know is wrong.
But this solves all our problems.
Really? Since when is taking someone else's property solving your problems? Your parents will never stand for it.
Well, who says they have to know where I got it?
Donna, think about what you're saying.
Look, Mom wants to buy this for Jimmy, but we can't afford it. Well, finding it is like an answered prayer.
You're saying your dishonesty is an act of God?
No, but...
You can't get around it, Donna. The game isn't yours. You need to take it to the lost and found.
Okay, I will. Oh, no.
Oh, what's the matter?
Jimmy's coming up the street on his paper route. I can't let him see me with this game.
Why not?
He'll think it's for him, and that'll spoil Mom and Dad's surprise. I have to hide it.
Just tell him the truth.
The mailbox.
Mailbox?
Mr. Chambers' mailbox. I'll hide it in here until Jimmy leaves.
Donna, your house is only next door. Just take it
out. Hi, Jimmy.
What are you doing out here?
Oh, just, you know, I was waiting for my ride to work.
In front of Mr. Chambers' house?
Well, I was pacing, you know, while I was waiting, and I lost track. Guess you better go, huh?
Yeah, sure. See you later, Donna. Back on planet Earth.
Oh, there's my ride.
Sure looks like it.
Well, I'll see you around.
Uh-huh.
See ya.
Right.
Jimmy...
You better go.
Yeah, right. Oh, boy.
Strange girl, my sister.
Hi, Jimmy.
Hi, Mr. Chambers. Oh, here's your paper.
Thanks.
See you later.
See ya. Well, what'd the postman bring today? What's this? So anyway, this computer game was in my mailbox.
Huh, that's peculiar. and you have no idea who put it there.
No, no name, no label. You think one of your kids left it?
No, my kids don't own this game, although my son wants it for his birthday.
Well, here, tell him to have a good time with it.
Really?
Sure, I don't have any kids or I'd be tempted to keep it myself. Unless you want me to turn it into the police.
Well, let me double check with Mary first. This seems like a pretty strange coincidence.
Whatever. See you later.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Ben. How bizarre. It's almost too good to be true.
Hi, sweetheart. Who was that?
Ben Chambers. Hey, is Jimmy home?
No, he's still on his paper route. But I'm glad you brought him up. George, I want to talk to you about that game he wants.
Say no more. Look at this.
George!
Yeah, it's a curious thing.
Oh, you are so wonderful.
Well, I was just coming home.
I know. You couldn't resist. Look, we can work extra hard to make up for it. Oh, Jimmy will be so happy.
Actually, I...
You really are a marvelous father. And a great husband, too.
Well, you know me. Anything for my family. But I...
Could you do one more thing for me? Uh-huh? Could you run to the store and pick up some party hats? They're half price at Save Mart. Oh, this really is wonderful.
Strange.
What are you going to do, George?
What do you mean?
Sift through the rosy glow you're feeling because your wife considers you a hero. You let her think you bought the game for Jimmy.
I tried to tell her. She wouldn't let me.
You know me. Anything for my family. Doesn't sound much like you were trying very hard.
Yeah, well... I'm sorry. I got caught up in the emotion of the moment. I'll straighten it out when I get back.
Good.
Maybe.
George.
Time for a little Mach 10 action.
So I still haven't convinced you to take it back, huh?
Sorry. I just don't see the problem. It's been a nice birthday. All things considered. Wait a minute. Where is it? I left it under this box. Where did it go? Lawrence! He must have done something with it. Oh, I'm gonna get him. You just can't trust anybody anymore.
You're telling me.
This is the quietest birthday dinner I've ever been to. Is everyone okay?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Jimmy, you've barely touched your food.
Well, I guess all this birthday excitement has chased away my appetite.
Well, maybe it'll come back for some cake and presents.
Maybe.
I'll help you with the cake, Mary.
Oh, thanks, honey. Donna, I could use your help, too.
Oh, we don't need Donna's help, honey.
I need her to set out the cake plates. Yeah. Donna?
Huh?
You've been staring out the window all night. I need your help.
Oh, sure, Mom.
Be right back, guys.
Where have you been, Lawrence?
Out. Why?
I went to Wonderworld to get my game, and it was gone. Did you take it?
No, sort of. Well,
I told you not to touch it. Where is it?
It's kind of hard to explain.
Jimmy, come and get the punch, will you?
Okay, Mom. I want that game back.
Help me with these plates, Lawrence.
Donna, I need to talk to you about Mach 10.
I don't want to hear about Mach 10.
But
I've been trying to call Mr. Chambers all afternoon, and he isn't home.
Mr. Chambers?
Here we go. Sit, everybody.
Mary, I really have something I need to tell you.
I have something I need to tell you, too. But I want to do it in front of Jimmy.
Me?
Yes. Okay, Jimmy. Here's your present.
Thanks. Kind of light. Are you guys giving me an empty box this year?
No. But you need to know the story before you open it up.
Mary, he really doesn't...
Yes, he does. It's a story of generosity. And you have your father to thank for that.
Huh?
That's right. Your father bought you a fully portable Mach 10 Bible action computer game.
What?
Wait, Mary.
But what he doesn't know is that the one they sold him was broken.
Broken?
Broken?
Well, at least it looked broken. The screen kept flashing error over and over. So I took it back to get a replacement. But they were out, so I got a refund. It wasn't easy because I didn't have a receipt, but after I explained that this was for my son's birthday tonight and they better help me out, they finally gave me what's in this package.
A gift certificate?
Oh, no.
George, what's the matter?
Mary, you didn't have a receipt because I didn't buy the game.
What?
Mr. Chambers from next door gave it to me.
Mr. Chambers?
Mr. Chambers?
I tried to tell you when I brought it in, but you were so happy. And then my conscience started bothering me. And, well, I tried to tell you all afternoon, but I never got the chance. I'm sorry, Mary.
Wait a minute. Why would Mr. Chambers have a video game?
Well, I know this is going to sound funny, but he found it...
In his mailbox.
Right, in his mailbox. How did you know that?
Because I put it there.
You did?
Yeah, I was coming home with it, and Jimmy was writing up on his paper route. And I didn't want him to see me with it, so I stuck it in the mailbox.
So you bought the game?
No, I found it, sort of. I was going to take it to the lost and found, but... Well, to be honest, I thought it'd solve the problem of you guys buying one for Jimmy. So I was going to give it to you to give to Jimmy.
You found it. Donna, that game belonged to someone. They might be looking for it.
Yeah, Donna, that's what you told me this afternoon.
No, wait a minute. What she told you? Why should she tell you that?
Because I was the person she found it from.
You mean the game was yours?
No, it was, friend's. Kind of.
That's not what you told me.
I know. I panicked. I wasn't supposed to have it, and I broke it.
So that's why it didn't work.
Lawrence, you have to tell your friend what happened.
He just did.
Jimmy?
Yeah. It's mine. I bought it this morning.
After I told you not to?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I saw it at the store, and, well, the temptation was too much for me to stand.
It's going to take a week to sort this out.
Are we in trouble?
I think I am.
Well, in a way, we all are, Jimmy. Sounds like each one of us was tempted to do the right thing or the wrong thing, and we all chose the wrong thing.
Except Mom.
Well, I was pretty brutal on that poor sales clerk.
Well, there you have it. All guilty and accounted for.
Yeah, but it all started with me. It was my fault for buying it in the first place. Hey, where did everybody go? Dad? Mom? Donna? Lawrence? Where are you guys? Ow! Hey, turn on the lights!
Huh, sorry. The lights come on when the adventure's over. I guess I better adjust them.
Yeah, or hand out sunglasses.
Well, what do you think of the Room of Consequence?
Pretty weird. Yeah, now I feel terrible.
Terrible?
Yeah, what a mess!
Well, it's like I said. That was just one of the options you have. You gave in to temptation and got to see what might happen, not only to you, but your family.
No kidding. Wow. What about the other options?
Well, you could resist temptation and go home to a nice birthday dinner.
Yeah, that's the one I want.
Good for you. But you don't need the Room of Consequence for that.
Great. But could you give me a lift home?
Sure. Why?
Because I think it'll be easier to resist temptation if I don't have to walk past the computer store.
Whatever it takes, Jimmy. Whatever it takes.
First Corinthians 10:13 says, "No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. Being tempted is not a sin, but giving in to a bad temptation is. Next time you want to do something bad, remember these verses, then ask God to show you the way out." Adventures and Odyssey is a presentation of Focus on the Family. Into Temptation was written and directed by Phil Lawler. Our production engineer was Bob Luttrell, and our executive producer, Chuck Bolte. And I'm Chris, hoping you'll join us again for our next adventure in Odyssey.
So the Room of Consequence was the new invention.
It sure was. And now, 16 years later, you can still hear the Room of Consequence from time to time.
You know, but how did they come up with such an unusual invention?
Let's find out by talking to Bob Luttrell. He was the sound designer for this show, and he's also a sound designer for our podcast. Bob, thanks for being here.
Hey, it's my pleasure.
You just recently listened to the show for the first time in many years. What was it like hearing it again?
Wow, you know what? I totally forgot about this show, and listening to it, it really impressed me, the message especially. It was just like a whole new show to me, so I enjoyed it.
Well, you know, you always make us sound so good on the podcast, but the sounds of that machine with the Room of Consequence, that was really cool. How did you make those sounds?
I don't know. I mean, I know how I did it, but it was like I didn't know what to do. I knew I didn't want to do like an imagination station, a great big thing. And so I just started listening to sound effects, a lot of cartoon sound effects, and that's how it happened. It was just listening to things, combining things, taking things out, you know. And it worked, and that's it.
Did you have any idea that we would still be hearing from the Room of Consequence 16 years later?
No, I thought this was just a one-time show. I had no idea this was going to go on at all.
You know, there have been so many shows that have featured the Room of Consequence, so you really laid a great foundation there. But you also laid a foundation in bringing certain actors to Adventures in Odyssey, including Corey Burton, who had a bit part in this episode as a clerk. So talk about how you brought Corey involved into the Odyssey family.
Well, I did a show called Heartbeat Theater for the Salvation Army, which was a radio drama for like 7 years. And we used all kinds of awesome actors in that show. And Corey was one of them. When the show ended in 83, I believe it was, Heartbeat Theater went on for 25 years. Every
wow.
week,
huh.
No reruns, never a re-air. It was the longest running show, I guess, in history. It made the Guinness Book of World Records. The producer wouldn't ever get people to come in going through their agents because they didn't want $8.40 a commission because they paid $84 for a two-hour call. These people, most of these people came out of the old radio, the golden days of radio. These were all radio actors in the 30s and 40s. Don Hills was the producer of the show. He got all their home phone numbers, and he would not go through their agents at all. And he would call them 9:30, 10:30 at night saying, can you make a call at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning? And they all would come. They loved doing the show. When the show ended, I said, Don, let me get their names, please, and their phone numbers, because who knows, maybe someday. And then Odyssey happened, and I brought over 40 people, and Corey was one of them. And I don't know, you want to know a couple of names?
Yeah.
Wow, yeah.
We'd be very interested. Who are some other folks we might recognize?
Oh, Joni Gerber, Dave Madden, Janet Waldo, Chris, Brian Cummings, Earl Bowen, Joe Campanella, Flo DeRay, Parley Bear, Ken Mars.
Wow.
Natalie Corr, who was Witt's passed-on wife, Walker, and Will Ryan. Those are just some highlight people.
It's a who's who. It's not just a highlight. Hey, now you did have a small part in this episode yourself as the Barclays neighbor. How did you get cast in that role?
I think they said, Bob, get in there. That's usually the way it works. Sometimes I do replacement voices. They'd have an actor to do a part, and they just didn't work out, and it wasn't a huge part. And so they'd say, Bob, we want you to redo this. That one, I think they kind of cast me in that one.
Now, you've done other parts as well. Anything that our listeners would recognize?
Oh, yeah. I did 52 different voices, and in 62 shows I acted in. And I did the voice of Aram, Ambrose Schnook,
uh-huh.
Barabbas, Judas, some biblical characters, Flavius, and a bunch of officers and pastors and a lot of misters. And I can't even remember half of these people, but some of them I do.
But some classics in there, and I think that we do have a little sampling of some of those voices that we can play here.
Oh, really?
A lot of folks out there still don't want Texas to be a state. It is now 4:55. If we close now, we'd be breaking the rules.
You know, city bylaws state that theaters must meet the same health and safety requirements as restaurants.
Now, technically, this isn't a will. It's merely a letter stating your father's last wishes concerning his property.
Ah, there is no God. So how could this man be his son?
Oh, an expert, huh? Well, you know what they say. Practice makes perfect.
Rascal, that's what we call him because he's got a knack for escaping. Four times since we got him. That's a record.
Now, Mr. Whittaker, what I've tried to capture in my screenplay, based on your story, of course, is the essence of who and what Odyssey is.
Wait. He's motioning us to come forward. He's all right.
Yeah, those are a lot of fun. Now, I know we have our favorites here on the Odyssey staff. I was wondering, can you give us just a little live sampling of one of your favorite characters here?
Well, the crew seems to like Ambrose Schnook.
Yeah.
And he was the guy who read the will, and he was telling the two brothers, saying, well, this is in a contract, It's more like a... Yeah, it's a contract. Something like that. I don't remember.
Bob, you alluded to Chris Anthony being one of the people that you brought on. Do you have a story about maybe how she was introduced to Odyssey?
Yeah, Chris was not part of the Heartbeat Theater cast at all. I did her voiceover demo, and she came in to do her demo. She wanted to add some things to her existing demo. She already had one. And this was upstairs, an old converted apartment building that were, you know, now business suites. And she went down to her car, and I stepped out on the landing there, and I noticed the fish sticker on her car. And when she came up, I said, "Are you a Christian?" She said, "Yeah." And I said, "Me too." And we just got to be friends. And when they were looking for someone to host the show, listening to Steve and Phil go back and forth and trying people and everything, I said, "You know what? I think I got the perfect lady for you." Her name is Chris Anthony.
Wow.
And as soon as they heard her, they went, "She's it. That's it."
That's great. So you knew her at the beginning of her career putting together that demo.
Yeah. Yeah, I knew her. Well, she had a demo. She wasn't doing a whole lot. I mean, of course, now Chris does so much stuff.
Exactly.
And then Will Ryan and Walker and Dave Madden and all those guys, you know, you work with them for years on the show and you just know what they can do. And, you know, they're going to be perfect for you. Corey is a man of a million voices. He can do anything.
Bob, I have to ask you this question. Having the history that you do with Odyssey and the different actors, obviously we've lost a couple members of the Odyssey family over the years. How has that impacted you, having the background that you do with them?
Hal was a big loss for me. He really was. My mom passed away like 3 weeks before Hal's wife passed away. And so we'd commiserate with each other, and Hal and I were pretty close.
I would think that there's probably some kind of a generational difference in people who kind of grew up with old radio and you know, original TV and theater versus the way that people, you know, record these kinds of things today, where everybody kind of goes off in separate rooms and nobody really works together on it. And they, it was just probably a greater camaraderie with that, I would say the old guard, but you know what I mean?
Absolutely. You know, the rehearsals, when everybody'd get together, it was like old home week for these actors, and they would talk and tell stories about the old days of radio. And the cool thing about Heartbeat Theater was it basically was a live show. We had a Foley, if you want to call him a Foley person, and these guys came out of old radio too. And I'd say the real stars of these shows was the Foley, the sound guy, because they would literally create and build sound effects. And they would do all of these things live. Everything was live.
Wow.
And it was just amazing because, you know, obviously they get the script beforehand. And if they didn't have the sound effects, they'd have to make it. They'd build a contraption to make this thing sound like it's supposed to. They had some things on record, and it would just be background ambience, city traffic or something like that. But everything else was done live. And it was just amazing to watch these people work. Looking at the actors, looking at their script, and it looked like they had eight arms. I don't know how they did
it.
Yeah. I would go up after, and I went up the first time, and I went, how do you do that? It was like magic. So, yeah, I got to, you know, play on the prop table after the show was over and try these things. So, you know, I got a good education. It was fun.
That's great. Well, Bob, thanks for taking some time to talk with us today.
Yeah, definitely.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It was fun.
Our listeners can hear today's show, Into Temptation, along with 11 other Adventures in Odyssey episodes on the newly repackaged Album 17, On Earth as It Is in Heaven. Check out details on our website.
That's it for this edition of the official Adventures in Odyssey podcast, a presentation of Focus on the Family.
Visit us online at witsend.org/podcast. That's witsend.org/podcast.
Or call us at 1-800-A-FAMILY. I'm Bob.
And I'm Jesse. And remember, with God in your life, every day is an adventure.